service again this evening, starting at 7 o'clock, 6:30 for our prayer warriors. Amen. You might ask who that is, and I'm glad you did. That's you. So you need to be here at 6:30. Praise God. All right. While you're standing, if you'll look with me in the Word of God, we're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verses 5 through 8. Amen. 2 Timothy 4, 5 through 8. Praise the Lord. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, that means reach out to everybody, make full proof of your ministry. In other words, whatever you're doing for God, make sure that that's very important to you. For I am now ready to be offered. This is Paul speaking. Some of the last things that he's going to say before he gets his head chopped off for preaching this gospel. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. It's getting ready to happen. But he wanted Timothy to understand this. He was writing this letter to Timothy. He said, I have fought a good fight. Good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Somebody say, I kept the faith. I stayed with the faith. I continued to preach the faith. I found out about the faith that was once delivered to the saints, and I kept that faith. Nobody took it away from me. I didn't sacrifice it for any kind of relationships. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Amen. So there are people that are just can't wait for the Lord to come back. And then there are others that dread his appearing. Lord, if you're going to come, please don't come right now. I'm not quite. Well, today is the day to get quite ready. Amen. Praise God. So let's look to the Lord and ask God to help us today. Jesus, we love and honor. We praise and worship. We exalt and magnify. We glorify and lift the name of the Lord. We pray your will and your way. We pray your presence and your power. Amen. Sound men, if you'll just freeze that scripture. God bless the church as you're seated just now. Amen. I can't help it. I never want to come and bore you. I never want to come and put too much on you. Amen. But could we go into the next few scriptures? Is that possible? Can we just put that for 2 Timothy 4 and 9? Will that take a while? Or good. All right. He said, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. I want you to get the setting. Amen. So many times things can come against us. And sometimes I just want you to understand that the things that can come against us sometimes absolutely pale in comparison to what some of these people went through to make sure you and I had the gospel. Some of the slightest things can do something to us that make us turn like a German shepherd on somebody. But we need to understand that what we go through many times, and I'm including myself, I want you to know that, what we go through sometimes pale. It doesn't even compare to what some of these guys went through. And so then after Paul said, I fought a good fight, I kept the faith, do your diligence to do the same thing, on and on, he couldn't help himself but to go a little bit personal. And he said, do your diligence to come shortly unto me, Timothy. Get here as quick as you can. Next verse. For Demas has forsaken me. Why did he say that? He's trying to encourage his son in the gospel to continue in the fight. I fought a good fight. You fight a good fight. I'm getting ready to give my life for God. You give your life for God. And then all of a sudden he says, Demas forsook me. He just left us. He just walked away. Having loved this present world, he's departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens, same thing. He went to Galatia. Titus went to Dalmatia. For whatever reason. Verse number 11. Only Luke is with me. Amen. He said, take Mark and bring him with you. He's profitable to me for the ministry. He just wanted to see Mark. Apparently Mark left a mark on his life. And Paul just wanted to see him again. Could Mark have been one of those individuals, like so many we have here at Landmark, that no matter what came against him, he stayed with the gospel. He stayed with the church. And Paul just wanted to see him one more time because he wanted to see something that he was successful at and something that didn't leave him and something that didn't forsake him for whatever little reason there was. And then he said, I sent, how would you pronounce it? Tychicus? He sent this guy. He said, I sent him to Ephesus. And then in verse 13, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with you and the books, but especially the parchments. In other words, bring my notepad because I want to write some more things for the Bible. Paul wrote over half the New Testament. He wrote many epistles. These were letters to the churches. Anyway, that's Paul's feelings just before he died, just before he passed away. Praise God. So here's what I feel like he was telling Timothy, and that is the subject title for today. Amen. Take your chance to make a stand. In other words, take your chance. And when you take your chance, make a stand. Make a stand. There's so many people saying that I just can't do it. You don't know if you can do it until you try. I know some are going to fall by the wayside, but they're going to be marks that when we're ready to leave this world, we can call for them and they'll come. And I just want to see you. I just want to shake your hand and hug your neck one last time because I know when I'm gone, you're still going to be here. Praise God. And you're not going to leave for little frivolous reasons. Somebody hurt your feelings or somebody touched your feelings. So you're going to be here. Praise God. Amen. And all is going to be well and you're going to let the will of God for your life unfold. And you're going to see what God was up to all along, even when the devil brought other things to detour you and to shake you off. Amen. So take your chance to make a stand. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't know. I don't share a whole lot about where God brought me from. I just say things like, if God can save me, he can save anybody. Amen. But I just felt an urge today to share because in doing some visitation this week, I wound up in a home and I looked around and I saw stuff and that shouldn't have been there. And you know, you sense things and you even smell things that go on and you know that anyway, it shouldn't be that way. And then you get to talking to people about coming to your church. And all of a sudden, they say things like, I don't know. I said, let me tell you what you're going to see when you come to our church. I said, you're going to see people drive nice cars. I said, you're going to see people with nice suits. You're going to see ladies in nice dresses. And you're going to see hairdos and people smiling and couples holding hands and I love it when young couples come into the church and they're holding hands and they're leaning all against one another and I catch them looking at me and I go like this. Like, I got my eyes on you. Amen. But it's fine. You got a license, you know. Praise the Lord. And so, but I told him, I said, you're going to see all this. And I said, but there's something I want you to understand. In most all of their lives at our church, it was not always that way. I said, for the most part, the reason why they came is because their home was breaking. The reason why they came is because they had no car to drive. The reason why they came, because they spent all their finances on drugs and alcohol and everything else that you can imagine. But the reason why they came is because they were losing their children to the government, because they just were so high and drugged up and messed up in their minds until they couldn't even focus on their kids. Their kids were dying in the cribs. And I said, I just want you to understand that, because you understand what I'm saying, right? And they say, yes. And I said, when you come, you're going to see things, but I want you to understand that's where they came from. And the reason you're going to see that is because that's where God wants to take you. And that's what God wants to do for you. And so many times people come into our church and they say, whoa, as soon as church is over, I'm out of here. Because that ain't me. What they're doing, what they look like, what they act like, and how that's not, we haven't found it yet. We need help. We don't need people that were born in this and raised up in this. What I'm going to tell you right now, not all of us were born in this and raised up in this. Even the pastor. And so, you know, it was in the late 70s. Your pastor was pumping a few drugs into the school. And I will say to the young people, if you feel challenged by what I'm getting ready to say, and you feel like you got to do what pastor did so you can be a great pastor, amen, just think of how great I could have been had I not done that. If you think there's any greatness at all, I don't see that. But if you happen to see any greatness at all, I just want you to understand, I'd rather have the testimony that my sons have than the testimony that I have. Neither one of them have tasted any alcohol, I hope. Neither one of them have ever smoked. Neither one of them have done drugs. And they grew up, and there was a time in their young lives they thought, I don't have a testimony. And I said, you've got the greatest testimony of all. I was a weak little chicken, and I did what everybody else was doing. And here you are going to school with all of that, and you still haven't done it. And I said, to me, your testimony is the greatest testimony of all. But I want all the thoroughbreds to understand that not everybody's going to have that same testimony, not even the pastor. Amen. So it was in the late 70s that I was pushing a little bit of drugs into school. And I wasn't making money or anything like that. I was just wanted to be like everyone else. And I had this and I had that and shared this and shared that. And I'm just not going to go real deep in it because I'm not very happy about it. Amen. And so I was summoned into the principal's office, and he said, hey, Kenny. I said, hey. He said, I heard you're doing a little, you got a little stuff in school today, and you're passing it out and doing this and doing that. And I said, no, sir. I lied between my teeth. I said, no, sir, I'm not doing anything like that. I wouldn't do anything like that. And he said, could you pull your pants legs up a little bit? And I thought, oh, Lord. First time I prayed, and I don't know how long. Because I had it all in my socks. He said, pull your pants legs up. And I said, okay, no problem. Pull my pants legs. He said, now I want you to pull your socks down. And I thought, I'm going to prison. And so I choked on my legs there a little bit, and I pulled my socks down, and everything went down with my socks. And he didn't see anything. He said, okay, thank you. I said, I wanted to say, Lord, thank you. But I was far from that. And so I bypassed prison. I remember that there was a young man. Carson came home from school one day, and he said, Dad, he said, there's this guy in my class. I said, really? I said, tell me about him. He said, he's got long hair. He just droops over his desk, sleeps half the time. He's got piercings everywhere. He's got this everywhere. And everything's dude, and everything's cool, and everything's just, you know, you could tell he's so spaced out. And I said, Carson, just stop right there, buddy. And he said, what? I said, just have a little patience with him. Because the whole time he was describing that guy, I thought Carson saw me in the 70s. I said, just have patience with the guy. I said, just have a little mercy on the guy, and maybe you can win him, and he'll come through, and maybe God can get a hold of him. He said, okay, Dad, I'll try that. I'll do that. Carson was just real young. You know, he's in school and didn't comprehend it, and so I just kind of walked him through, and the whole time I'm seeing myself in the mirror again in the 70s, and that's exactly what I was. I said, be patient. Try to get him here. And all I saw was me. Should have gone to jail. Probably should have been in prison. I don't know how I lived through a lot of things that I lived through. But I got an eye-opener. A girl stole some medication from her grandmother. And she brought it and gave some of it to me. I knew what it was, and I knew how to do it. But Tommy, my very best friend, didn't know how to do it. And I gave him some of that and forgot to tell him how to take it. And he went home and took it. And 10 minutes later, he didn't feel anything, so he took another one. 10 minutes later, he didn't feel anything, so he just kept taking them until he felt something. He thought you took them till you felt something. And so he wound up taking way too many. And Tommy came within just probably a centimeter of dying. Isn't a centimeter real small? Let me go back to English. He came within an eighth of an inch of dying. And just almost lost his life. Well, that broke my heart, because there's not a whole lot of friends that people have out there that they consider their friends. I can't tell you how many times I've tried to find Tommy and to reach out to Tommy, but I can't find him. I still want to find him till this day. And then there's Clay Logan that I'd done some things with, and we would just get sopping drunk and then step out on the highway and start hitchhiking, just going somewhere. We were too young to have driver's license, so we were hitchhiking. People would pick us up and take us all kind of places. And we'd wind up having to hitchhike back or get back any way we possibly could. Wind up throwing up beside the road, because alcohol does that to you. And then there was a time that he was doing that by himself, and a carload of young men picked him up and took him in the woods and threw him down in the woods. And one of them took out a revolver and put it to his head, and he said, I'm going to shoot him for the fun of it. And the other guys that was with him talked him out of it and said, no, man, the law may find out some way. You just don't want to do that. He said, come on, man, let me shoot him. Let me blow his brains out. And the whole time Clay's watching all this come about, and they decided not to do it, and they left him in the woods. And so a little later, I found him. After I'm in church, I found Clay, and Clay and his wife, Frida, came into the church, and Clay prayed through. We baptized him, and he got the Holy Ghost and all of that. So I did get a hold of Clay. Amen. There was another friend we didn't get a hold of, and he was drugged up, high as everything, and he took up drumming, playing drums at an early age, before high school. He became quite accomplished in playing the drums, and a local famous band picked him up, and he started traveling with them and playing and doing all of this, making a lot of money and buying a lot of drugs, and bought a little car, and in that little sports car, he went too fast around a curve and wound up in the river. And they had to fish him and the car out. And another friend of mine, drugged up, high, and all of that. I should have been with them in the car, but I found the church and I was sitting in church, and I found out that they tried to outrun a train, just something fun to do. They tried to outrun a train before it got to the intersection, and they didn't make it. And they looked for my friends, and they found their head over here. They found their hands over here. They found their feet over here, and they found their legs over here. I should have been there, but instead I was in the house of God. So when you come here, I just want you to understand that we didn't just fall into this. We just didn't grow up in this, and this is what we are by some accident or some lifestyle. We found this because someone told us about this. And then Mark decided, I'm going to live this. And when Mark decided he was going to live this and not just run off like Demas did and some others did, because he found something and wonderful. But he stuck with it. And then Mark found me. And Mark found others. Mark found you, you and you. And here you are today. When they come, they're not going to look. They're not going to look all their best. They're not going to speak all their best. And amen. I love Brother Mike McEwen. I'd pick on him if he was here today. And he gets so excited, he'll use the D word. He said, "Oh my word, Pastor." Here's the way he says it: "Pastor, I'm so sorry." And I just laugh at him because he is in a grace state right now. Hallelujah. Amen. And so he's growing in the grace of God. But they're going to come. They're going to come. Cody asked us to pray last night. He said, "I feel like something big's going to happen." While I'm up here praying, walking back and forth, and the Spirit of God speaking to me and saying, "I'm getting ready to do a great thing at Landmark." And I believe these great things are going to be these people that aren't so great. And if you don't want them, I do. And if they're not welcome to you, they're welcome with me. And if there's anybody in here right now that's struggling with some of the things that you know that I'm talking about without being in detail, then you've got to know there's help and there's hope here for you. Because if you'll look around, for of such were some of them. Amen. Amen. And so it was, all of this stuff. I finally tried God, and I tried the church, and I found the love of His people. Now, guess what? I'm addicted again. I haven't backslid. I'm addicted to the church. I'm addicted to God. I'm addicted to this gospel. I'm addicted to helping people find this. Amen. AA can't help me. That's Apostolic Anonymous. But I'm extremely glad to say that God is an addiction that is not an affliction. And I'm still glad to be in the church today. It is a joy. It is a joy. It is a peace that passes all understanding. Amen. It is a great and wonderful. Somebody here today needs to take your chance and make your stand in living for God. Hallelujah. I don't know, and it seems to me, Brother Devin, you could probably help me with this, but I think the record NASCAR miles per hour, this came out in 1996, was 236 miles per hour. That's fast, isn't it? What would a collision be like? Bam. What would that be like? Culture is like that car. coming at us at a very high rate of speed. There's family culture, Hollywood culture, pleasure, priority. There's this talking culture. And there's the demeanor, amen. There's all these kinds of cultures. There's young people cutting themselves. Every time they get depressed, they want to cut themselves. Amen. I've never been brave enough to do that. I've been depressed, but I've never been brave enough to cut myself. But they do that. They slash themselves because it's a culture thing. There's bikers, hikers, and there's psychers. Amen. Praise God. And I put hikers in there because it rhymed. But I'm just telling you, there's all manner of things going out there in our culture that can take the place of where God actually wants you to be and what God actually wants you to do. Here's what you do. You stay in the battle, man. You don't give up in the battle because you haven't lost the war. As long as there's breath in your lungs, you have not lost this war. You're in a battle, and perhaps you lost a little scrimmage. Perhaps you had a little setback. But it's not time to sit down because you had a setback. It's time to get back up because you haven't lost this war. I want to tell you something about the devil. He's lost this war. There's no hope for Satan. There's no hope for the devil. There's no hope for the enemy. But there's all kinds of hope for you. The sun still shines and the path is still open, and you can make your way to the glory of God. Amen. Your setback is a setup. Amen. You're going to use this setback to help somebody in the future so they don't have to go through the hurt, the pain, the agony, the embarrassment, and the shame that you've had to go through. Hallelujah. Amen. I've been there. I know what you're talking about. Amen. But we need to understand, we have not lost this war. We may lose battles, but we don't lose the war. Somebody help me praise him right now. I need some assistance with this message. Amen. I can't do this by myself. Somebody's hurt. Somebody's broken. Somebody's messed up in their mind. Somebody's going the wrong direction. Somebody's being pulled in the wrong direction. A spiritual gravity has gotten a hold of you that wants to pull you away from where you're at. Amen. Hey, been there, done that. Got the teacup. Amen. I've got the coffee mug. I've got the t-shirt. We need to understand right now that there's nothing that is against us that can break us or make us. We're going to win this war. We are going to win this war. And I'm going to get a little personal right now and just simply say, you're going to win this war. Why? Because after going through everything you've ever been through, who's sitting here today? You are. That's who. That means you've got the stuff. That means you've got the mentality. That means you've got enough Holy Ghost. That means you've got enough power. That means you've got enough authority and dominion. Oh, somebody ought to run the aisles right now. Somebody ought to dance in the Spirit. Somebody ought to give it something right now. Hallelujah, that you haven't had in a long time. I know you feel the Holy Ghost. And you're asking yourself, why am I able to feel the Holy Ghost? Because you've got the Holy Ghost. My Bible said the gift of God is without repentance. My God, don't draw back what he's given you. My God, don't take away what he's given you. My God, don't walk away from what he's given you. Hallelujah. Amen. So while you're walking away, God's going with you. Where are we going to take our problems this time? Where are we going to take our setbacks this time? Where are we going to walk away to this time? Amen. You can walk away from me, but I ain't walking away from you. And as long as you live, you're going to hear my voice. As long as you live, you're going to feel the love of God. As long as you live. So you may as well give in, give up, and give out. Hallelujah. Become addicted to something that's not an affliction. And that is the love of God. Hallelujah. That is the love of God. Amen. Let's just stand. I'm not nearly, but maybe we'll finish tonight or whatever. But I'm just telling you right now, God's reaching for somebody. He's been reaching for you for a while. He's been looking at you for a long time. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We got wives here, amen, that come regardless of their husband. We got husbands that come regardless of their wives. We got children here, young people here that have come since they were young teenagers, amen. And now they're adults and they've been coming here all by themselves. Hallelujah. There is no reason to lose this war. There's no excuse to lose this war. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You got your armor pierced. You got your helmet bashed in. Your feet have been shod with the preparation of the gospel. You got some of that stomped on. I'm urging somebody to stand up and shake it off. In the name of Jesus, I want you to shake it off. When Paul came off the ship and he landed on land, it was cold. He was with barbarians. He was with people, man, they ate snakes alive. They'd find a cockroach and just swallow it whole. They were vagabonds. Paul was in the middle of all that. They started building a fire, and a serpent came out and it didn't just bite Paul on the hand. I was talking to somebody about snakes yesterday for some reason, and they said, "Man, I'm scared to death of a snake." That let me know if they even saw that snake Paul saw, it would have killed them. But this thing crawled out and bit Paul and hung on his hand. And so all of a sudden, oh, that snake, Paul got bit by a snake. You know what I'm saying? That's part of the rhetoric and the talk in our generation. If I hear another person saying, "You know what I'm saying?" I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. Hello? You know what I'm saying? 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 And so that snake, it crawled out, hung to his hand. And then all of a sudden, they started saying, "He's a devil or something. We need to kill this dude." And then Paul takes the snake over to the fire and shakes it off, burns it up, walks away like he was never bit. Then all of a sudden they want to worship him because he's a god. That's where our world is. They can't make up their mind whether something's a god or if it isn't. Should I worship this or should I worship that? Should I do this or do that? Whatever. Amen. Hallelujah. I heard about a 16-year-old girl that said, "I don't believe like y'all believe." No, you don't even know what we believe. How do you know? How can you make such an eternal decision and not even know what we believe? So while they're doing all of that, Paul's their prisoner, and he's shaking off snakes in the fire, and he's still got his mind made up that it don't matter what I'm going through right here. Amen. It don't look like I'm winning this battle, but I'm still going to shake the snakes off in the fire. And I'm going to walk off and live for God. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm asking somebody, I don't care who you are. I don't care where you came from. I don't care what color, creed, nationality that you are. I'm asking you right now, are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Are you tired of the fighting? Are you tired of the trouble? Are you tired of all of the anguish? And are you tired of all the disgusting? Are you tired of all the sickness? I'm inviting you to come to where there's a place where you can meet the Lord, because He's not leaving you. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to walk away from you. He's what you've been looking for. Hallelujah. He is the relationship you need right now. He is the love of your life that you need right now. He is the one that needs to fill that little lonely hole. He's the one that needs to fill that spot. He's the one that needs to be in your face and fill your space. Amen. You need to come and get it. Come and get it. Come and get it. Come and receive it. Come and believe it. My. Why don't you just close your eyes, lift your hands, and reach out to a God that wants to help you. Altar people, altar workers, you know who you are. Would you help us right now?
He's keeping me alive.
In the name of Jesus.
He's all over me.
In the name of Jesus.
That he's keeping me alive.
My God, my God.
That he's all over me.
Yeah.
That he's keeping me alive.
Holy Ghost.
I know he is keeping me alive. Woo.
Keeping me alive. Yeah.
Keeping me alive. He's all over me.
Somebody shout, yeah! Yeah! I'm just going to say, ain't nobody can do me like Jesus. Praise God. He's all that and then some. Praise the Lord. Sister Linda right here, she just testified for the last several days has had severe vertigo. And she's just like a deer in the headlights right now because God just took it away. Gone. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. One of the greatest miracles that Landmark has ever experienced is standing here today. And as I'm saying this, this person is not even aware I'm talking about them. They don't have a clue. They're looking like you are. Who in the world is he talking? This person's had cancer several times. This person's been in the hospital several times. She's been on the edge of death's door several times. But where is Sister English today? Woo! My, 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 my. Amen. I want you to come back tonight. If the Lord allows, I want to preach about how it's a fact. The Lord will not walk away. He will not walk away. Amen. I want to share that with you tonight. Amen. Are you glad you came to the house? Man, I'm